very hard to describe the real role of a teacher. Because in a certain sense, the ultimate teaching is not a communication of any kind of understanding or idea. It's a release from understanding. It's a release from concepts. And really what we're trying to do in this class is to, in a sense, to lead each other to a point of deep stillness. Because in that stillness, in that momentary release from ideas and thoughts and any kind of understanding, we get what you might call an intimation of our true self. And the intimation of that self is so compelling and attractive that by learning to be still and to slowly let go of your hunger for understanding and thought, you begin to feel your way into who you are. The mind works entirely in the realm of human exchange. That's really what the mind is for. It basically weaves together the mode of operation that we require to function in the world. Spiritual work is learning to undo that functioning for a short period of time so that we can begin to detach from the world, detach from our involvement in it. And as we lessen that binding, we start to feel and know something that is not comprehensible to the brain or the mind. We simply start to know through our feelings a deeper sense of who we are. The teacher, more than anything else, is trying to unweave, unravel, simplify, uncomplicate you, trying to help you release the knot of your binding yourself to this idea of who you are. Because really we're all tied up in this concept of ego self. I use the word, and I will use it improperly, but literally tied up. We are all knotted up in this sense of I am this, I am that, I am struggling. We have this tightness in our relationship to the world. And as we begin to unknot ourselves and relax more and more deeply, to let go of all of this constriction, we start to feel whole. We start to feel a kind of pleasure in letting go. And that pleasure speaks to us. It's called bliss. Something about it feels primordial, feels essential, and feels powerfully attractive. And we want more and more to know that space, that unknotted, uncomplicated, unbound nature that we are it within. The great thing about a meditation class is the experience of, or the coming to know of, that possibility. The way to go about unknotting your life, uncomplicating your life, is to live it more simply and more honestly. Complications come in because we don't express what we feel. We don't say what we mean. We don't speak truth to ourselves or to others. Complication comes in because we so much buy other people's idea of us and society's idea of who we should be, in spite of who we are. The unraveling of that is a process that comes very naturally in meditation, which is a feeling of acceptance of self. Just accepting who you are. Because when you sit still in this uncomplicated state, you're easy to accept. You feel good about yourself. The only time you don't feel good about yourself is when your mind jumps back in and goes, but you did this when you were 4 years old, or you were bad, or you were told you were bad, or you were told you were stupid, or whatever it is that started to create these images of you. Those things, when they are operating, have enormous power. But when you sit still in this class, you let go of all of that for a period of time. And letting go of that, you don't feel complicated. You don't feel constricted. For a period of time, you feel released from that. That release is not true liberation. It is a doorway to true liberation. It's a doorway because it emulates the kind of freedom that really awaits every human being. It emulates it because for approximately 1 hour, you are not obsessed with or controlled by the mind. Real liberation is the realization that you never were your mind. The realization that you are no thing, no being, separate from all being. That awakening is the very thing that awaits every human being. And one approaches it, this grand awakening, if you will, through a long series of detachments, unravelings, unknottings that take place in us. And every time you sit, you loosen the bond that holds you in your idea of yourself. You just let it go a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit more. And as you do that, you start to see what you are not. But you don't yet see what you are. You just simply see something is letting go and freeing you and lifting you up and you feel this sense of wanting more. But there is this very complicated period where the thing that wants more, the thing that wants liberation, is trying to own it. Trying to have liberation is the very thing that prevents it from coming, because the thing that finally is liberated is you from the thing that wants to be liberated. You can't have liberation. You as a personal entity is the one thing that has to be surrendered for true liberation to occur. And it is that dance, if you will, that most everybody in a spiritual class is involved in. We go back and forth between, I want this, I want to have this freedom, I want this bliss, I want to own this thing for myself. So the closer you get to this really deep, profound awakening, the more this I complicates that, and the more this I reveals itself to you as the complication. It is the final knot within you. It's the thing that is still holding on to ownership of the universe, if you will. You can't destroy that. You cannot destroy it. You can't do anything but recognize its existence, be deeply, deeply compassionate toward its existence, allow it to be, and then just surrender. At some point, the great liberation that occurs for human beings is that this little knot of ego that still remains finally gets undone. And at that moment, realization occurs. It's fascinating for me to watch both myself and everyone else in the last stages of struggle with this ego mind, because that's basically who we are in this room. We are doing this deep, deep dance of asking to let go and still trying to hold on. Wanting to be free and still preventing ourselves from being free. Letting go and grasping, letting go and grasping. It's really the nature of this step in the evolutionary process. We don't yet fully trust liberation. We don't fully trust the universe without us. Some people make a huge final leap into the nothingness of their being, or the no-thingness of their being. Some people just let it be washed away slowly. I think the most important thing at this point in our development is to be deeply gentle with ourselves but to be very committed to this process. The danger, not a good word, but I'll use it anyway. The danger of not committing to this process is that one can go back and forth in this kind of spiritual vacillation. And the only thing that gets you past that is this thing in you that says, I want to wake up. I want to know myself. I want to realize what this is. I want to know. And it has to be a sufficiently strong voice that it truly compels you into the last stages of this search. What I am understanding deeply in myself is that the arrival at that space is moments away, or even right at this moment. And that nothing prevents you from knowing except you. Let me put it this way. You have to announce to God and to your deepest self in the most profoundly simple and real voice that you can find that this is what you want. You have to do it without any buts or hesitation or modification of any kind. It has to be complete and pure, and you just have to say yes. And then live in the availability, if you will, to that experience, to that awakening. For some reason, I'm becoming so deeply aware of all of these people who are having this awakening. You know, I look at my altar downstairs here. I have all the pictures of all the great awakened souls. Or not all, but the great ones of our time. You know, the Nisargadatta, the Nityananda, the great entities of the last 100 years or so. And I have for so many years revered them as being unique and special, and they are unique and special, but what I'm coming to is that what is going on here is not unique and special. It is very natural. It is very commonplace. It is happening for people all over the world. That to awaken to yourself is, in some remarkable way, no big deal. And yet it's the biggest deal there is. I'm amazed at how many people sit in groups like this all over the country that I never had an inkling about, doing just what we're doing in their own way. There's so many people sitting doing this work. Not Rudy's work, not this particular configuration of work, but doing the work to awaken. And how many of them are suddenly going, aha. The fact that it's not a big deal makes it so much more available, so much more real to me. As long as I had kept it in my mind as something that only the rare few ever get to, It made it harder for me to imagine myself as one of those rare few, and the idea that I might be one of those rare few became somehow a complication in itself. Why should I be rare? Why should this be rare? It doesn't have to be rare. It's not rare. At least not in this moment. I actually think of it as a kind of viral condition, sort of like what happens on the internet, you know, suddenly something just spreads everywhere. I think of this awakening thing as a kind of viral thing that is starting to happen within the body of the world. Something is awakening and needs to awake, not just that it has the potential, but that it is, this is that what I would call evolutionary moment. This is the moment where people are going to be going, ah, and awaken to some unbelievably wondrous truth about who we are. And that we are sharing this moment together and working toward it together. And this whole idea of teaching is really trying to help each of us find our way past our own knottedness, past our own complication, past our own sort of misunderstanding, into this moment of aha. The only thing I see as an absolute condition for this to occur is the depth of your wanting it to happen. That's your contribution. The other half, or the other 98%, is the universe itself agreeing to meet your request. And it does come down to this old stuff of knock and it shall be opened. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. It comes down to that. You know, if you knock like this, the reason you didn't hear that is because I was knocking very lightly, not much will open. If you somebody has to pay attention. And most of you are coming to this class kind of like this. Yeah? It's not loud enough. It's not knocking hard enough. It's not asking deeply enough. That's the only thing that's keeping you from having the door open and having the thing you're looking for arrive. It just takes a little extra knocking, a little more consistent wanting for it to take place. And I know when you sit in this class, you have that desire, but the minute you walk out of the class, there's this, the world again, the forgetting, the, you know, yes, I want everything that this offers, except I also want to be rich, famous, and have a great relationship. Make this the first thing, and everything else follows. This awakening internally is what it's all about. And out of that comes a life of such clarity and awareness. You begin to be aware of who you are looking at in the world, who you are touching, what you are feeling, what you are bringing into your body. You become aware of life as this presence, as this reflection of you. And it speaks to your highest need. It speaks to your highest desire. People looking just to satisfy their worldly desire never get satisfied. People looking to discover their deepest inner desire are always satisfied, because that desire really is one thing, which is to be. Just to be. And the amazement of just being every spiritual teacher tells you this, and I will tell it to you as well. We are so close to what we're looking for, so close to having what we want, that the word close doesn't even address it. It doesn't even address it. You're already there. There's just this thing that goes click. But for it to go click, you have to make sure you want it to go click. So, the only thing I can teach you is that I guess in a certain sense I can't teach you anything, but I can encourage you to do this in yourself. Any questions?
This isn't a question, but just along the lines of what you're saying. I don't know if people know this, but something I heard on an Eckhart Tolle tape was that for millions of years there was only green vegetation, and then flowers came later, which is sort of something that inspires me about the flowering of human consciousness.
I'm beginning to sense I don't have the words for it yet, but I can only say that God is the process, and that the process of the world becoming is exactly what's supposed to be happening. And that process is often a violent process. It's often a process of upheaval. It's a process of discovery. It's a process of every human being bringing who they are and what they are to the universe, because something is waiting to occur, that it is unfolding, and yet it is in a certain unbelievably powerful sense already there. It's really the image of the oak tree in the acorn, you know, or the human being in the embryonic seed. You know, what is that? What is it that everything is already contained, and yet it still needs to grow? It still needs to flower. Humanity is just like that. We are still having to do something, and we're doing it. And this very sitting that we're doing right here at this moment is that. And we are, I think, based on my looking at the rest of the country, kind of at the forefront of this. We are in the early stages of this, but we are essential to the process. We are essential to this unraveling that's taking place, and it's really happening. I mean, I feel it. I mean, there's a lot of resistance to it, and, you know, even our election, you know, the old forces and the new forces, the stuff that's been kind of really pushing forward since the 1960s, really, this really deep kind of societal change is really important. And we are part of that, but we are at the forefront not of the changing the physical dynamic so much as changing the internal dynamic, and that we just need to do what we're doing. And each one of us who awakens to ourself is an incredible new sort of luminosity in the human genome. We change the genetic structure of existence. And this awakening is suddenly, for me, and this is all new, part of a larger whole. It's part of something that needs to happen. And it feels to me very much like that that fish that crawled out of the water. Whatever that is that led that fish to change its breathing from into accepting oxygen as part of its mechanism and then crawling out onto the land. We really are that. And if you want to be that in some deep way, commit to it. Because if you were one of those fish that were by the shore going, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure, you'll end up in, you know, swimming in the ocean for a billion years. But if you're one of those fish that say yes to the newness of things, yes to the possibility, and you take that risk, which every one of us has to do individually, and every one of us has to do with our own act of courage and against all of our better instincts. If we can let go of ourself and reach for this thing, we become the movement upward into this unfolding that is profoundly beautiful. And it is the thing we are all called upon to do, or we wouldn't be sitting in this space. And if those of us who do it will feel a kind of arrival and a hunger, I think, to help others find their way. And a deep compassion for those who can't. I mean, the fish crawling out of that water must have looked back at the others and said, "You don't know what you're missing." But the world will keep having fish, and then it will also create mammals, and then it will create whatever it is we are becoming. And what we are becoming is something incomprehensible to the human mind, but only comprehensible when you let go of the human mind. The singularity of it is beyond belief. And the thing that's so extraordinary about it is that it's been there from the beginning. And it will always be there. And it is trying to become aware of itself through all of its parts. And we are the parts.
I feel like I've come quite a ways in my spiritual journey, but I really get tied up into a giant knot when I'm interacting with a person that I really love who is, I would call, mentally ill, and has been, you know, programmed me in a negative way my whole life, I would say, so I feel like on one hand I want to grow, and I am opening and accepting God's world, and on the other hand it just takes a person that I have so much trouble with to get tied into a giant knot and just become exhausted and shut down, and I call it exhausted, but it's just, you know, the opposite of wanting to grow.
It all comes down to this balance in you between how much you want to grow and how much you want to be caught in these things that push all your buttons. Because there comes a place of clarity where you see this person is pushing buttons, and you are allowing those buttons to be pushed. Not only are you allowing, you are programmed internally to allow that to happen. So the only way out of that is to begin to become detached enough to be, if you will, elevated enough within yourself to go, aha, I see what they're doing. So the next time you watch, and you kind of begin to watch in slow motion, and you see their finger moving toward your button, you go, you just kind of quietly, internally step away, and they can't push it. It goes right past you. You know, in Aikido, which is a wonderful martial art, what they do in Aikido is they become empty. So that when the force of an attack comes at them, rather than greet it with resistance, which is what most of us do, what they do is they empty, and the force of the attack goes right past them, and the person who has thrown their energy at them, waiting for a response, failing to meet that response, that energy keeps moving, and they fall. They lose their own ability to attack you because their own effort meets nothing. It completely evaporates, and they can't do battle with anything that's not there. What can you do? So you, being the resisting force who puts up the wall as a kind of mental habit in yourself, an old habit, have to learn, which is part of spiritual awakening, how not to throw that wall up. And you have to do it sort of moment to moment to moment to moment until that force stops coming at you. When it realizes it can't hit anything, it gets so frustrated it won't bother. It won't try. And you have to be willing to do that dance. And the more you surrender your limited ego mind self that's so restrictive and so sort of connected to their anger, to their hostility, to their madness, as long as you respond to that, they build it in you. But the minute you let go of that, you just become empty. It has nowhere to go. And your emptiness will look at that with what? Total understanding and compassion. Because you will know why they're throwing all that at you, and you'll see it's their own ignorance, their own confusion, their own knot. The very thing you are trying to unweave is the very thing they are dealing with in themselves. And when you see yourself undoing it by not letting them touch you, their own knot starts to get really thrown by that. It doesn't know what to do, and in many ways, it's the beginning of their awakening. Because they see they are fighting nothing. They are doing battle with emptiness, which is really, in truth, what we're all doing. Every time we fight the other, the only reason it seems to have impact is because the other presents itself as solid. But when the other recognizes itself as nothing, and you recognize yourself as nothing other than these patterns of behaviors, freedom occurs. Deep freedom. And that's the growing into awakening. It's a process we're all in. It can go quickly or it can take a lifetime. What's important is that you engage that process. That you look at it over and over and you pull back. I always tell people, Rudy said this. He said you gauge your spiritual life, your success, by the happiness of the people around you. But more importantly, I think, how open are you around your parents? If you look at your parents, who most of us have all of these things around because they formed us. They were the first ones, It's how deeply you can allow them to be around you and to be in their presence, those of you who still have parents around, and be yourself completely non-reactive, open, loving, and compassionate. It's the best test there is. You can't have a spiritual life and hate your family still. You can't do it. Because that just locks you into your ultimate knot. But the great release from that knot is saying, I get it. You are a product of your own stuff, just as I am a product of what you did unconsciously to me. And that very thing that I am has no real substance other than my allowing it to define who I think I have become. You just let that go. That's the real liberation, is when you realize you're not any of that stuff. The world that defined you has defined a mental concept of you, but not you. It's not really you. And as you start to let that go, you realize, I'm none of that stuff. I'm this little baby who is completely joyous in the world. I'm full of wonder. And this thing that I created, or that was created, that I allowed to be created, that I say is me, doesn't really exist. It only exists because you have bought into it. So buy out of it. Step back. Open to those forces that are attacking you. Open to those forces that are crazy around you. Let them just not touch your true self, and you will be free. Anybody else? Thank you. See you next week. We're going to, I'm going to be here for a while, and we'll have brunch for anybody who wants to stay, and to continue the brunches, we need people to bring stuff. So there's a sign-up sheet downstairs, and if you want to come and have brunch, you know, do sign up. And if you don't want to have brunch, if you want to just give food to other people, that's fine. Or just don't bother. But I'll continue to do it just because it's nice for some people to hang out afterward. Thank you.